Thank you, Mike. Thanks, everybody, for allowing me to be a part of your midweek here together. It's always just a treat to be able to come into another region and get to fellowship and see some different faces. And I know we're not physically together. That's a bummer, but at least be able to see you and interact with you a little bit here. Great to see Tim and Jess on the service last Sunday, sharing. That was cool. And to have Mike and the worship team up there week in and week out, getting to see some of your faces. And then certainly Daisy at staff meetings and things like that. But great to be with all of you tonight as a Brooklyn unit here together. But my name is John, as was shared. My wife, Tiffany, and I lead the Long Island region here. And we have two little kids. My daughter just turned 2 on the 4th of July. Juliana is her name, and my son is 4. He turned 4 in the beginning of September. Actually, he was born on Labor Day, so we have a couple of holiday babies. But his name is Logan, and they're a lot of energy, which has been interesting throughout the time stuck at home. But amen, God is good, and it's we're all healthy. We're praising God for that, and that's all we need right now. So. Just great to be together. Thank you again for having me. The title of my message tonight is Not Alone. And before I get started, let me assure you, I'm not going to be singing the Michael Jackson song. I have no vocal abilities whatsoever, so don't worry about that. But this idea, you are not alone, it's something that I think is especially fitting right now. I know some of us maybe have been able to connect a little bit in person, and hopefully, you've been able to connect through the online things that have been done. But I know even recently hearing on the news, parts of Brooklyn being kind of, restrictions being tightened and things kind of shutting that down in some ways again, it's challenging. I know we can feel alone at times. And, the reality is that even though we have hundreds of contacts in our phone, for the most part, probably a lot of us, and maybe you're a part of a small group, hopefully, and I don't know, maybe you have a spouse or roommates or kids or neighbors or coworkers, you're surrounded by millions of people in Brooklyn, but still it's possible to feel so alone at times. And maybe you've experienced that in some way or another over the last few months here, but I wanted to remind you that you are not alone in a couple of ways tonight. We'll have kind of two different points on that topic, but the first scripture I want to share, I'm not really going to stick in one scripture and kind of read the whole thing through. A lot of times I like to do lessons like that, where we kind of break down one scripture and stick it in that part of the Bible. But tonight we're going to jump around a little bit. So I don't know if you are taking notes, feel free to just jot down the scriptures. I might bounce through a few of them pretty quickly. But, we'll look at a good different passages in the Bible. We'll start in I'll just reference Psalm 68, verse 6, which is a familiar one probably for a lot of us, but it says, God sets the lonely in families. The reality is, whether you're a single or married or a teen or whatever you might be on this call, God placed you in a spiritual family. Why did God do that? Well, because he knows that you and I are stronger together, that with a family, in those moments when we feel alone, when we feel down, when we feel discouraged, he's given us a spiritual family, and he wants us to reach out, to be there for one another, to pray together, to listen to each other, to counsel each other, to encourage each other. That was Psalm 68:6, just to reiterate there. But, all of that is part of God's plan, and clearly we see, especially now, again, Satan is at work to want to stop us from feeling that connection, to make us feel isolated and alone, to make us feel like we aren't connected. I think about some things that stop me in the moments where I do feel alone and isolated, and maybe think about reaching out, but oftentimes don't. What are the things that can get in the way of that? Well, I think for myself, sometimes pride, right? Pride can get in the way of me reaching out in those moments when I do feel alone and know I need some help and know I need some connection, but maybe that thought gets in there, no, I should be able to handle, what I'm feeling right now. I should be able to think through this. I should be able to navigate through this on my own. Or maybe you've been hurt in the past as you've tried to reach out, right? As you felt alone, maybe you've made the effort and that brother or sister didn't call you back, or you've had you know, issues where you've gotten into conflict as you've tried to reach out for help, and you've been hurt in those moments, either feeling left and the ball being dropped, or people just kind of getting into conflict with you. That's real. Those things can, you know, affect us. I think sometimes, you know, we can worry people maybe are too busy, or we worry people might not care, you know, that no one cares about my issue. They have their own issues going on. I know I can feel that a lot of times, right? Where I know the people that I'm going to reach out to, they're already got so much on their plates. You know, I don't want to just come to them with my problems. I don't want to come to them with my issues and the things that I have going on. And we can, you know, get that thought in our head. You know, we have a number of things. You know, maybe we think I've tried before and it hasn't worked and it hasn't gone well. And maybe they won't understand, right? Satan uses all sorts of things to keep us from reaching out. I mean, my goodness, he'll give us a pandemic to keep us from feeling connected and to keep us isolated and feeling alone. It's so easy to get to a place in our hearts where we give up, and maybe not on God, but on his people. And we would never say explicitly probably that we've given up on each other, but by our actions, we really show that we have, right? We can become bitter and critical and isolate ourselves and not get real and not get deep. And that's when Satan wins. I want to encourage you, instead of feeling alone, we got to pick up the phone, right? Call a sister. Be honest about how you're feeling. Ask to pray together. You know, I don't know, sometimes you can look on Facebook maybe or social media. I know, you know, it just seems like everybody always puts their best foot forward, right, on social media. Like, I sometimes look at people's social media and go, where do they have time to do all these things, right? Like, it's like they're over here doing this thing, or this group is together. And it's like, you know, all of these great things happening, but I was never invited. Or I know, you know, my wife can show me things and be like, oh, I didn't hear about that. And that's just, you know, sometimes you can feel that. That's real, right? It you get kind of a bit of a feeling of being left out sometimes. And I think instead of getting bitter with those moments, you know, we've got to actually reach out in those moments and say, hey, I'd love to be a part of something like that. Because sometimes people just don't realize, right? Sometimes people are great with relationships and maybe they feel really connected, but they're just not aware of, oh yeah, I guess, you know, maybe I should have tried to pull more people in. Maybe I should have made more phone calls and seen if other people were free to join and, you know, kind of expand our social circles a little bit and try to pull people in. But it takes vulnerability to reach out in that way. You know, if one person doesn't answer when you're feeling alone and you try to reach out and call, you know, the great thing is you guys have a real big region, right? You've got a lot of other people. You can just go ahead and say, you know what? I'm not going to get bitter. I'm just going to try again, right? I'm going to pick up the phone and try someone else. I'm going to send another text message. I'm going to keep calling because I know God's plan is not for me to feel alone. You know, the reality is we're definitely not perfect, right? We will let each other down. We'll say the wrong things at times. Maybe you'll get to that vulnerable place and you'll try to reach out and you'll pick up the phone and feel like, hey man, I'm doing the right thing. And somebody will just say something out of left field and be like, wait a minute, what? Why did I even bother reaching out, right? Why did I even try calling this brother? Why did I even try to share this with this sister? Because they said something that you just don't even know how a Christian could say, right? We will do those things at times to each other, unfortunately. But in those moments, we've got to remember that this is God's family, right? We've got to give grace. We're human. We need to allow each other to grow and understand when people fall short in the same way that we do and pick ourselves up and try to reach out again. This is not a situation, you know, we don't have the option to give up on each other. God didn't give us a spiritual family to try once or twice and then give up. No, that's not God's plan. God's plan is for us to be tight, to be have relationships that are different than anything else on planet Earth with each other. And we've got to pursue that. We've got to persevere in that. You know, the reality is we aren't alone because we have each other, but even on a deeper level, on a further spiritual level, we're never alone. Even if no one picks up the phone, you go through your entire small group or your entire, you know, church membership list and try to talk to somebody. If no one else picked up the phone, guess what? You're still not alone. Because if you've been baptized into Christ, then the truth is you're never alone, the Bible says. in Romans 8, verse 11. I want to share from Romans 8, verse 11, if you want to jot that down or look along with me. Romans 8, verse 11, the Bible says, "And if the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies because of his spirit who lives in you." Did you catch that? It was in there twice, right? Who lives in us? The spirit of God, the spirit who raised Jesus from the dead, the spirit who lives in us. That's an amazing reality that God's Holy Spirit is with you and lives in you. And I know for me, I need to be reminded of this all the time, that in the materialistic kind of, you know, it's not real unless I can see it kind of tangible Western society that we live in, you know, we don't do well with spiritual thinking a lot of times. That's just kind of not in our culture. And we're affected by that if we're honest with ourselves. But to think on a deeper level and realize the Holy Spirit, there is a spirit that lives in me. I want to talk about that for a few minutes, about the spirit living in each one of us. And I think sometimes we can feel like the Holy Spirit is a little mysterious, right? God the Father, we get. Jesus the Son, we get. You know, but the Holy Spirit dwelling in us, you know, it becomes a little less mysterious, and I just did it, when we refer to the Holy Spirit as a he instead of an it, right? Sometimes we think of the Spirit as a thing, but really Jesus calls the Spirit he in the Gospels. The Spirit is a being that lives in you. The Spirit has a personality in the same way that Jesus and God the Father do, right? John 16, verses 13 through 15, that's where Jesus is teaching a little bit about the Holy Spirit. And, you know, he's referred to as he. I think remembering a being is with us, that we're not alone. It's not another thing. It's not another item in our lives. It's a person, not a person, it's a he. It's a dwelling, a being that dwells in us. And there's so many scriptures, right, that describe the Holy Spirit that lives in each of us. I'm going to reference a few. You can, again, jot them down. If you want to try to keep up flipping around, you probably won't, but you can try your best. But I'll share them here, and maybe at the end I can type them up in the chat or something. But there's so many great scriptures. You can look at your own and find so many more. But just a few things that the Holy Spirit who lives in each of us does, what he does in our lives. The Bible says in John 14, verses 15 through 17, that he counsels and comforts us. That's what the Holy Spirit does. He counsels us and he comforts us. It's an amazing gift that God gives us, that we don't have to feel alone. We have a comforter with us constantly and a counselor with us constantly. John 14, verses 25 through 26 says that he teaches us, right? The Holy Spirit was given to continue our education as Christians, to keep teaching us, to keep helping us learn and mature as Christians. That's an amazing gift. Thank you so much, Darren, for sharing the scriptures in the chat. That saves me some work later. Appreciate that. John 15, verse 26, the scriptures say that the Spirit tells the truth, right? That's an amazing thing. We don't have to wonder if we get a thought that is contrary to the scriptures, right? If we ever wonder, is this the Spirit or is this just coming from somewhere else? You know, the way to check that is look at the scriptures, right? If this thought aligns with the scriptures, then you can bet that's from the Holy Spirit of God, because the Holy Spirit speaks the truth. He tells us the truth, even when we don't want to hear it. Your conscience will tell you, the Spirit will tell you that the truth that you need to hear. John 16, verse 13, says that he guides, right? The Holy Spirit guides us. Man, this is an amazing blessing, right? I'm so thankful that my spiritual journey and my spiritual well-being does not depend on a flawed mortal guide, right? Let me reiterate that one more time, because I think you guys are especially in a time where maybe you need to hear this some a little bit, right? I know you're in the midst of being between leaders a little bit, but you guys need to remember, you know, discipleship, the decisions that you make on a day-to-day basis and what you do as a Christian, it's not because some leader told you to. It's not because, you know, somebody's there in that position and has a title. Praise God, we need leadership. I'm all for leadership. But you're a disciple of Jesus because the Spirit of God that's in you guides you to be. You make those decisions because the Spirit of God that's in you leads you to make them, because you know that the convictions that you live by need to be the same convictions that the Spirit that lived in Jesus guided him to live by. The Spirit is our guide. And I want to encourage you, especially during this time, this is the guide that you have. Look inward, find the guidance of the Holy Spirit, and remember who you are as a disciple of Jesus, that this is the leadership that you have right there inside of you constantly. The Holy Spirit in Genesis 1, right in the beginning, he's there in the beginning, commanding and creating, the Bible says. The Spirit is creative. He creates. If you're a creative person, that there's a connection there that you can have in a godly way with the gifts God is giving you, that you can, connect with the Creator himself. Romans 8, verse 26, such an encouraging passage. The Spirit intercedes in prayer for us. Man, I'm so grateful that the Holy Spirit intercedes in prayer for us. This is something that, especially recently, I know for all of us, there's probably times when it's difficult to articulate what you're feeling. There's enough going on to try to play games with your hearts and your minds, right now, that it can be hard to articulate how you're feeling to your Father in heaven. And it's so encouraging to remember, I don't have to always have the right words. I don't need to always have the right, clear way of explaining things. I've got a direct highway of communication between my heart and my mind and God Almighty. The Holy Spirit delivers those thoughts. He communicates those emotions that come out as groans or that come out as sighs or eye rolls or whatever they may be at times. That's what the Spirit does. He helps us to communicate with our Father in heaven. It's been so helpful for me as it's just been a challenging year at times to pray and to connect with God. I lost my father in March, kind of at the beginning of all of this craziness. And it's just, there's days where, I just am wrestling with God and I don't even know all of what to say, just kind of sitting there in my emotions and feeling stuck. And I cling to this scripture because, man, thank God that I have the Holy Spirit to be able to bring my feelings and my hurts and my pains and all of our hurts. We've all certainly suffered through these last few months, and God is there with you. I know sometimes it's hard to articulate, but the Holy Spirit intercedes in prayer for us. That's such an amazing blessing. The Holy Spirit of God is in you, so we are not alone. I want to read two more passages together. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2 is the first one, verses 10 through 12. Two more passages about the Holy Spirit who's in you. 1 Corinthians 2, 10 through 12 says this: "These are the things God has revealed to us by his Spirit. The Spirit searches all things, even the deep things of God. For who knows a person's thoughts except their own spirit within them? In the same way, no one knows the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. What we have received is not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, so that we may understand what God has freely given us." This is a beautiful description, again, of who the Spirit is and kind of what I was referencing earlier, how there's perfect understanding because we have the Spirit of God and of ourselves, right? The Holy Spirit is that perfect go-between where he knows God the Father and he can explain himself to us and reveal himself to us, but he also deeply knows us on an inward level, on a heart level. He understands who we are. But we got to spend time sitting with the Spirit. Spending time with the Spirit, it's like, if we're doing it right, it's like spending time with a close friend. He understands our thoughts. He knows how we feel. He tells us the deep secrets of God on the other side of things. He gives willingly and completely. He's always with us. He knows our fears, our insecurities, our joys, our hopes, our dreams. He's familiar with all of that. And that's who we have with us. And we need to remember when we feel alone. I think some of us, man, we're going through this life as disciples, but we're not tapping into the power that we have by having the Holy Spirit within us. This connection with God, this spiritual relationship with God that we're able to have through the Holy Spirit. There's one last passage I want to just read with us together tonight in Psalm 139, just a beautiful passage about the Holy Spirit. and really just, you know, kind of the psalmist being overwhelmed by the Holy Spirit here. In verse 2, it says, "You know when I sit down and when I rise." Psalm 139, verse 2. "You perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down. You are familiar with all my ways. Before a word is on my tongue, you, Lord, know it completely. You hem me in behind and before, and you lay your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too lofty for me to attain. Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence?" This is the Holy Spirit that lives in us. And, you know, I just love the honesty there in verse six, you know, really just in verse six, kind of recognizing all of this stuff. It's pretty much over my head, right? There's so much of this that I don't even really understand. But when I think about it, it's amazing. You know, this is how I feel about the Holy Spirit sometimes. I don't get it all, right? I don't know that we ever will until we're in heaven with God. But it's amazing to consider who the Holy Spirit is, how much he knows, how he discerns who we are and what we feel before a word is on my tongue, before I know it, God knows it. This is amazing stuff, right? The protection, you hem me in behind and before, you lay your hand upon me. There's so much in here about the Spirit and just, again, marveling at who the Spirit is and what he does in our lives. And then certainly ending there in verse 7, you know, just the reality of this presence of God in our lives, right? Fully embracing just the inescapability of God in our lives. As disciples of Jesus, this is our truth. Where can we go from his Spirit? Where can we flee from his presence? Even if you wanted to, right? You can't run. You can't hide from God. If his Spirit is in you, he knows you front and back, cover to cover, like a book. He knows every detail of your heart and your mind. This is the Spirit that lives in us. What more could we want in terms of an intimate relationship with God? The Spirit that constantly is present in our lives. It's the same Spirit that was present, you know, again, Genesis 1, at the creation of the world. The same Spirit that was present at the, you know, birth of Jesus and conception of Jesus in Matthew 1, at the baptism of Jesus in Matthew 3, at the resurrection in Romans 1, in the beginning of the church in Acts 2. I mean, all of these events you see in those scriptures, the Spirit of God present, and he's with us today. It's an amazing truth. It's an amazing reality that we don't ever have to feel alone. As we go through life, it's not I or me. It's me and the Spirit, right? That's the reality that we get to live. You know, if you're, I don't know, your parents, your schooling situation, if your school is in danger of being shut down in one of those neighborhoods for your kids, I'm sure there's stressful things going on, right? All of the uncertainty with that, you know, you're not walking through that uncertainty. We are, right? The Holy Spirit and you. You know, think about it. I'm not laying there at night, you know, waiting up at night, kind of wondering and thinking about all of the different, you know, issues of the day and the issues of tomorrow. It's not just you there. The Holy Spirit is with you. He's got you. It's we. I don't walk into that doctor's appointment nervous. We do, right? I'm not having that conversation with my kid that I'm nervous about. We are. I'm not looking for a job. We are. I'm not bringing up this hard talk with my spouse. We are. That's the reality of the presence of the Holy Spirit in our lives. We are not alone. You know, I just want to encourage you, if you're on this call, if you've persevered thus far, you've not done it alone. You've done it by the help of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit has been cheering you on, encouraging you forward, pushing you forward, pulling you forward at times, picking you up, dusting you off, whatever he needs to do to keep you persevering in your walk with God. And that's an amazing fact. It's an amazing thing to celebrate about your relationship with God, that you've held on to your faith, that you've not given up, that you're still fighting, that you're persevering. That's amazing. You're amazing because the Holy Spirit has walked you through that journey and you've done that together. And I want to remind you, as you're going through whatever challenges you may be facing, and certainly there are many, as you feel alone, first of all, reach out. Connect with the family that God put you in, that he intended you to go through this life with, to share trials with, to pray for one another with, and to go through this journey together. And most of all, we got to remember that you're never alone. You're not alone because the Spirit of God is with you and in you and walking with you. I hope this has been helpful tonight. Thank you so much for letting me share with you. And it's just been great to see all your faces and be able to share this time together. Thank you again. Amen.